In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks so much for joining us, and happy Friday. We have someone back on the crew, everybody.
Hi.
Yay!
Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I cover tech, and I podcast for the fans, not the critics.
I'm Brian Truitt, film critic and entertainment writer, and I podcast for everybody.
I'm Kelly Lawler, TV critic, and I podcast for the critics, not the fans. I'm just kidding.
We always podcast for you guys. Come on now. If this is your first time listening to The Mothership, welcome. New episodes come out every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen to podcasts. If you happen to be on Apple, we would love if you could write us a quick review about the show. You'll not only help other people who love nerdy pop culture find us, but as a thank you, a special bonus, we will give you a shout out on the show. You'll be super famous. Maybe you'll get a cameo in a TV show. We can't promise that, but it's possible. Don't be a stranger. Tell us what you want to see from the show moving forward, too. We love your feedback. We use it a lot on our show, so it's always super welcome. Don't forget, too, not only can you leave us a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod. You can email us to mothershippod@usatoday.com. This week, we're going to tackle a current debate and controversy in the film world, or maybe it's just on film Twitter. It might just be everywhere, honestly. Fans versus critics. This topic made the biggest news when Star Wars The Last Jedi hit theaters in December, got rave reviews, but sunk in the audience ratings on Rotten Tomatoes.
Something inside me has always been there. But now it's awake. And I need help.
I've seen this raw strength only once before. It didn't scare me enough then. It does now.
But this also comes up when audiences are fans like a movie and critics don't, and is even something filmmakers might say to combat bad reviews. You know, we made this movie or this TV show or this video game for the fans, not for the critics, blah, blah. So we came at this topic when one of our listeners tweeted at us. This is what they wrote. I would love to listen to Mothership Pod discuss movies with big differences between Rotten Tomatoes, tomato meter, and audience score. What movies do critics hate but audiences love, and vice versa? Special thanks, by the way, to Zachary Weinstein at SkiRock11 for the idea. Greatly appreciate it. It was really cool, and we're so glad we can tackle this week. So let's get to it. We'll start with Kelly, since she's been gone a while. Why do you think this keeps coming up?
I think that, you know, we talked about a lot about fan culture in the past few months on this podcast, and I think this is something that's always been around, but I think it comes up a lot more now that we have social media and we also have these public ways of rating movies and TV, but mostly movies, so that there seems to be some way to quantify how audiences feel about something other than the box office. And, you know, obviously we put a lot of emphasis on Rotten Tomatoes critics scores for movies these days, too. So I think that it's just something that has always been there, but is just so much more accessible now. And, you know, it starts getting reported as news, and then you're like, did everyone hate The Last Jedi? No, it made quite a bit of money at the box office, but there's certainly something there, be it trolls trying to tank the rating, or be it longtime fans who weren't happy with the way that this was done. And I think it's something that we have to take within degrees, but it's definitely something worth talking about.
Brian, what's your reasoning for why we keep hearing about this?
Okay, I think there's an overall thing of tribalism in pop culture, politics, everything. And with social media, everybody feels like they're a critic anyway. People, you know, there's always been bad movies. There's always good movies. You know, kind of sometimes people don't agree. But I think now people, you know, they put their flag down and their opinion on something, and they don't see anybody else's opinion or the bad side of things. They're just like, this is good. I love this. You know, F you all for not liking it.
I think part of it too, yeah, I think there's like a little bit of an ownership stake in something, especially if you see trailers and you really, really like it or you really want it to be good. Mm-hmm. Like you just kind of want to stand that ground no matter what. So it's tough when you see a critic take something that you think is going to be really good and say, well, it's pretty bad and it sucks and all this other stuff. And so you kind of, a lot of times, want to kind of retrench and be like, no, this is great. You're wrong. And, you know, and it's also hard to quantify, too. Like, you know, I think sometimes movies over time or TV shows or games might be better than critics gave it credit for. And I think that happens from time to time. But I do think a lot of it is more about you see something you really like and you want it to be good. And it's kind of hard to hear sometimes when people whose opinion you value say that it's not as good as you think. But it shouldn't change, like, if you like it or not. I mean, if you like it, that's cool. And don't, you know, you have to put too much pressure on that. But I think that's where a lot of it comes from.
Yeah. And I think also part of the problem is the way that Hollywood has changed over the past few years. And, you know, people's viewing habits have changed and technology has changed. So there's so much competition for movies in general, from staying at home and watching something on Netflix, staying at home and playing a video game, going to the park with your family, et cetera, et cetera. So to get people into the seats, every movie now is this like event movie, you know, like, you know, that's why superhero movies are so big right now, because if you're going to spend the $14 or however much it costs to go to your local Cineplex, it has to be really worth it. I was away for quite some time. Part of it was on vacation with my family. My parents talked about how they went to see The Spy Who Dumped Me, and they had no idea what it was about. And they just kind of did it because they heard it was a comedy, and they're like, why not? I just feel like almost no one does that anymore. When you're going to the movies, you're investing time and money. There isn't really a sense of discovery anymore. It's almost like going to a concert for your favorite artist. It's a sense of confirmation. You want to see what you already know, but better. It isn't casual anymore. The way that Hollywood is, they've cut out a lot of mid-budget films, although maybe the success of something like Crazy Rich Asians will help change that a little bit. But when they're only like tiny Oscar indies, that's, I think, for a lot of people feel like work to go to see. And then giant movies, people expect them all to be perfect all the time because, you know, our emotions about movie going have changed. It's not a casual experience anymore.
Well, and I think studios are weaponizing fans too. I think, mm-hmm. you know, if they've got like some August release that they know sucks, but they got to still market it somehow, and they don't have a Peter Travers quote or some, you know, rando TV guy in like somewhere in the world who
Fox
went to the junket,
yeah,
went to the junket and gave them a poll quote or something. What they do is they go and, you know, they have word of mouth screenings and they pull from Twitter, just rando people from Twitter. I don't know if people fall for it. They shouldn't, because it's just like, I don't care what big guy 265 right. on Twitter thinks. If people do, that's fine. But, you know, the studios aren't helping matters.
I think the other thing, and this taps into video games as well, because there's a whole nother hot mess with the way reviews and stuff like that go there too. But I think a lot of it too is how we view what is a good movie and a bad movie using these scoring systems. Mm-hmm. You know, with movies and TV, we have star ratings. With video games and with sites like Rotten Tomatoes, it's a 100-point scale. So sometimes you might see a 4-star review and they extrapolate that into a number. And it might not exactly reflect what the critic thinks of the movie, but the way they have interpreted it is then displayed differently. Video games run into this a lot, where it's like, if they see a game that scores in the 80s, it's seen like it's an okay game. And some fans, if it's anything below like a 90, they revolt and they're angry because it's like, this should be the best game ever and whatever. And I feel like that happens with movies too, where you can take a rating on a movie and you turn it into a score that maybe doesn't accurately reflect what you think of the movie. Also, I think being this 100-point scale, a lot of us tend to visualize this stuff with school. So it's
exactly.
Like, if we see a 90, it's an A. If we see a 70, it's a C. So if we see this movie in the 70s, we're like, oh, it's kind of bad. And you're like, actually, 70 is pretty good. It's still a good movie. It's just not this great Oscar-worthy, like, must-see movie. You know, I think that, and some of that might be on critics, where it's like having the freedom to use the full scale. But then you run into the problem with fans that get angry if you don't score it a certain way or if it doesn't fit their perspective.
Right. Like, if I'm going to give a movie like an F, like I would have gotten in school, or like our TV show, like Brian and I would use like a 1-star or a no star. Right. Like, you use the whole scale, where school you only use 50 to 100. And so I think that totally throws people up. And I also think people don't totally understand how Rotten Tomatoes works. It is not an average of critics' scores. It is the percentage of critics who thought it was good. So, you know, you could get something with like a 99% Rotten Tomatoes, and every critic could have given it like a 51 out of 100. So it could be a very consistently fine movie, but not the greatest movie of all time. And I mean, that's like a statistically wild example. That probably hasn't happened, but you know what I mean? It indicates something that I don't think people take it as. I think they take it as like, this is how the Rotten Tomatoes score is how well the movie scored out of 100. And it really represents, you know, a lot of people thought this movie was good. A lot of people thought this movie was bad.
Well, and I think Rotten Tomatoes should be used as like Wikipedia, where, you know, look at Rotten Tomatoes for an overall broad view of like what people thought of it. And then from there, you get your own kind of few critics that you like. Don't always trust Rotten Tomatoes, because it is not supposed to be the end all be all. It is supposed to be an aggregate of everybody.
Yeah, and I think that people sometimes treat critics as like scientists. Like they're like, oh, this is a good movie or a bad movie. But you should treat them like your friends. It's like, you know, you have the one friend who you always agree on movies with, and maybe like your dad has terrible taste in movies from your perspective. The best thing to do is to find a critic who you usually agree with, because that's a good way to judge whether you're going to like a movie or not. You know, like if you generally don't like superheroes, maybe Brian isn't the movie critic for you. If you don't like musicals, I'm not the TV critic for you. Like,
but that gets to another point, which is criticism isn't objective. It's subjective.
Exactly.
It's all within whoever is watching the show or playing the game or watching the movie. There's no scientific like result that should come out of this based on whatever. It's just the person watching it and what they thought of it. And that's as far as you're going with it. Are there specific movies or TV shows that you think divide critics and fans the most? Is it a type of genre? Is it an actor? Are there factors that go into what makes the reactions to these movies divisive?
Yeah, it goes back to that tribalism thing. I think, you know, Zack Snyder fans or Christopher Nolan fans are very, very vociferous about their fandom for such people. They go and they seek out somebody like, you know, talking smack about them. So they go to war. It's like 300. You know, I think there is a lot of that, you know, and I think people just need to chill out.
I remember there was this Legend of Zelda game a long time ago from Nintendo where it was highly rated. There was an outlet that rated it like an 88 and everyone was like 5-star everything. And people were like online equivalent of Pitchfork and Torches, like protesting because they were so angry. I forget the exact Zelda title, but it was very infamous like rating.
It's like it's almost any movie that, or TV show or game that comes with a like pre-knowledge of it, where it's an adaptation or it's part of a franchise or a series or it's a reboot or it's a revival. Anything that isn't that you already know about and you already have an opinion about. Studios aren't releasing as many new original idea movies anymore that attract a wide audience. So, you know, I feel like this is not going to be a real problem with, say, Moonlight, you know, or like La La Land. But it is a problem with almost every other movie, because, you know, the mid-budget movie that is coming to mind right now is Crazy Rich Asians. That was based on a book. You know what I mean? So lots of people really, and like that was like a big deal for like representation in Hollywood. Lots of people really wanted that to succeed. The lower stakes stuff is like coming out on Netflix and nobody's like paying that much attention unless it's like a really big breakout hit.
Mm-hmm. So what are the movies? This is the fun part of the podcast right away, where we kind of pick the movies that we like that fans didn't like and then vice versa. Let's start with the movies that we love that fans hated. My obvious pick is Last Jedi. By the way, we're not going to litigate the Last Jedi stuff.
We've
done it before, first off, and there's like 8 months of stuff on the internet that has litigated this to death. And I think the last thing we want to do is torture you with more of this stuff. But I really liked The Last Jedi. I thoroughly enjoyed it. There were a lot of memorable moments, and I thought it was great. Brian, do you have a pick for a movie that you loved that fans didn't?
Well, there's a whole subgenre. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of the like the indie horror movies like It Follows and The Witch and It Comes at Night, you know, well-crafted films that audiences aren't going to like. You know, I think It Comes at Night got like a 43. The Witch was like at 57. It Follows was at 66, which is like decently high. Audiences aren't going to like those because you're not really supposed to enjoy them. You know, they're supposed to be things that like that immerse you in like a sort of darkness and are about, you know, humanity and mankind, kind of like, you know, it's something to explore and kind of like freak you out a bit and then kind of leave you shook like a horror movie should. But I think people are more liable to give, like, you know, Friday the 13th part 40, you know, a better score because, you know, Jason gets hacked, you know, Jason hacks a bunch of people to death or something. Those are the things where I'm just like, I don't understand what audiences really want. These are great films. They're not supposed to be enjoyable. There's still, you know, some artistic credit in them.
Kelly, what can you think of a movie or even a TV show where you love it and the critics didn't? Or no, I mean the fans didn't.
And the fans didn't. I mean, I think this is both fans and critics because it tanked at the box office. I liked that Baywatch movie with The Rock that no one liked. I thought it was funny. Maybe that means I'm the least mature person in the room.
Okay, I'm throwing this one out there because I thought of you the second I saw it. Carol has a 94 on Rotten Tomatoes and it's a 73 with fans.
I mean, 73 is decently high.
73
it's
is
still good,
high.
Yeah, but yeah. The gap is pretty, I was pretty surprised. So what about the picks that you love that critics hated? My pick, Tango and Cash, which is an action movie from 1989 with Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone. And it's kind of like an odd couple, but buddy cop movie. So Sylvester Stallone's this straight, buttoned up cop, and then Kurt Russell's the more laid back dude. But it's a really fun, fantastic buddy cop film. It's got a 33 on Rotten Tomatoes. The audience score is 52, so I think everybody is wrong here.
They are wrong because that is a classic.
It is an absolute classic movie. It's one of, I think it's one of Stallone's best films. Brian, what is your movie you love that critics didn't?
Mine is Across the Universe, which is a kind of musical drama thing based on Beatles tunes, which was actually original. It's not like based on some like weird Broadway show, although I'm surprised it hasn't gone to Broadway. Yeah, I don't even like Beatles music that much, but I love how it's all used kind of like to tell a story and everything. So the audience rating for that is like 78 and critic rating is 58, which is surprising because it's really really well done. It uses the music in a cool way. It's not earth-shattering, but for what it is, it's really kind of neat. And so I'm surprised that the critic rating is that low.
Kelly, what's your pick?
My pick is But I'm a Cheerleader, which I think falls into this like subgenre of things that critics really hated when they came out and then become cult classics. Blade Runner, I think, didn't get good reviews when it came out and that kind of thing. But I'm a Cheerleader is like this classic lesbian movie that is like a satire of gay reprogramming camps. This girl who like whose parents force her to go to one of those things. And then it's like, it's so over the top. The girls can only wear pink. The boys can only wear blue. RuPaul's in it. He has been cured of his gayness, right? And he's a counselor. He hasn't been cured. and it's actually like this really great love story. And Natasha Lyonne and Clea DuVall are in it. And it's, you know, now like probably on the list of all like the best LGBTQ movies of all time. But it has a 35% tomato meter score when it came out in 2000. And I think it's also, when you first watch it, if you don't know the community as well, like the satire might come off as stupid as opposed to really like smart and biting, which it is. As people have learned more about those issues and that community, I think it's become so much funnier over time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one last question before we wrap up. Is this problem with the gaps in the way critics and fans view things, is this just something that needs to be fixed? Is this something we just have to deal with in this era with Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic and all this other stuff?
Fact of life. It's what it is. Since the dawn of like Hollywood and everything, there's always going to be, you know, kind of a disparate thing that critics love things, audience love things. I mean, I could do without as much social media banging on about it and all the tribalism stuff. It goes back to like, you know, you find a critic who like has your vibe, so go with them, you know. But again, everybody needs to just own their own love. Again, they don't have to tweet everything about it and get mad at people, you know. It's cool to own your own opinion on something. You just maybe don't have to be like shout it all the time.
Kelly, what do you think?
I would keep a cautious eye on it because Hollywood has a long history of learning the wrong lessons from their results, be they good or bad. You know, Deadpool did so well, so they were like, let's make all superhero movies R-rated right now. And the reason Deadpool did really well is because it was different. You know what I mean? Like, Guardians of the Galaxy did really well. Let's put a 70s soundtrack on every movie. So I think if this starts to influence what kind of movies are getting made in a really negative way, then I think it's something that, like, we could try to readdress, and I don't know how we could fix it, but then it would concern me. Right now, I agree with Brian. It's kind of just a fact of life, but I just don't want Hollywood to be stupid because they can be really stupid.
Yeah. I think ultimately it's just about being confident in what you like and don't like, and that's it. And I think as long as you can go that route, I think you're all good. Okay, listeners, your turn. We want to hear from you. Why do you think there's such a divide between fans and critics when it comes to certain movies or TV shows or games or anything? Have you ever really disagreed with critics on a movie or a TV show? Is there a movie that you love or a TV show you love that TV fans or movie fans didn't? Let us talk about it on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod. You can tweet at us directly. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And I'm at Kalawls, K-L-A-W-L-S.
And if you'd like to communicate with us the old-fashioned way, we've got email too. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com. That'll do it this week. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilots / producers of the Mothership this week, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to the Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, how about you leave us a rating or a review? It helps other people find us. And, of course, we're going to give you a shout-out if you do. If you don't use Apple Podcasts, we're also on SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, you will find us. Thanks again. Until next Friday, nerds out.
Later.
Bye.